You're listening to U-Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things U-Talk football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to U-Talk. It is September 4th, Sunday, and this is episode 4. My name is Andy. I hope you all are doing well today. It's a holiday weekend, and I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Ready for this thing that some call the rivalry week. So we'll get right into it here. You know, if this is your first time listening to Ute Talk, welcome and thank you for your support. Ute Talk podcast is part of the TornbySports.com network and part of Blog Talk Radio Network, and is produced every week for your enjoyment. So please add us on Twitter, please add Ute Talk to your favorite RSS feed and on iTunes. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. So let's get into our Ute news of the week. What do you got for us this week, Patrick?
Just some Ute news. I mean, fans know Dominique Hatfield was out for the Southern Utah game, but after the game, you know, Whittingham did say it's not a season-ending injury. He should probably be back by conference play, I would say.
Okay.
You know, something to do with his knee, maybe. But he, good news for fans and for him is that he'll be back, you know, shortly, in a week or so.
So hopefully just in time for that September 23rd game against USC.
Yeah.
Him going against Juju Schuster. Drawing a blank here. So,
his
injury was couldn't have been that bad. He was out there dancing on the field, so... can't be that hurt, I guess.
Yeah, just a minor injury that'll keep him out for, you know, a couple weeks. But
okay, good deal. The other one is Corey Butler-Bird. What do we got with Corey?
Butler-Bird's back practicing and participating in team activities, and last week he was named Scout Team Defensive Player of the Week, which we all know he moved to the offensive side of the ball, but you know, as you know, fans know that, you know, when you're on the scout team, you play wherever they put you. So that was kind of a surprise, but it's good to see him out there, you know, working hard to get back to being fully reinstated.
Or is it speculation that he moves back to the defensive side of the ball?
No, I think he'll stay on the offensive side of the ball. They probably just wanted him back there to, you know, maybe emulate someone on Southern Utah, possibly. I don't know.
All right. I'm going with the speculation. I don't know. Well, let's jump right into our recap of Southern Utah University. Ending score, 24-0. I mean, the blowout, first blowout in 4 years now, holding the opponents to 0 points. Total yardage, Southern Utah, they had, I believe it was about
158
158 total yardage. So they had 116 yards on the ground between 2, 4, 6, 7 different players, and their quarterback, one of their two quarterbacks, went 6 of 12 for 42 yards, and the other quarterback, Tanner Pedersen, went 0 of 6 for obviously 0 yards. I mean, defensively, pretty stout. I mean, Southern Utah, we probably could have put more points up on them, but we didn't let them move the ball at all. You know, starting the game, it was, you know, a little rusty there. You know, players shaking off their rust, but overall, I would say that our defense had a pretty stellar game. You know, 158 yards. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
no, that's really good. Holding a team under 200 total yards. I think, you know, a lot of people who've been fans of the U a long time would, you know, maybe think you'd see those numbers flip there where, you know, they'd probably hold him to 42 rushing yards and 116 passing yards. But, you know, 116 rush yards was a little surprising, but I know that, you know, the running backs of SU were able to find some holes there a couple times. But, you know, the 42 passing yards, I mean, that's, I don't, you know, SU doesn't have that bad of a passing offense. Mm-hmm. They do have some good, you know, receivers and some tight ends there, but
it seemed like they got a lot of their yardage early on in the game. First quarter, you know, quarter and a half. Kind of once halftime hit on, it was, you know, the defense that we're used to seeing, you know, stout and immovable pretty much. So
yeah, it was definitely, but I mean, holding a team under 200 total yards in, you know, virtually any game is, I mean, that's great defense right there. And of course the 0 points as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, yeah, 0 points, that's just fantastic. I think we maybe let them cross midfield three times maybe.
Yeah.
And again, most of those were in the first quarter. In fact, probably even all of them were. You know, we really played a good defensive game. Scally had a few interesting looks, one that I had never seen before. They had two nose tackles or defensive tackles and three defensive ends.
Yeah.
What did you think of that defensive scheme there?
I mean,
get it out of a system, never use it again, or
I think it's something you might see. I mean, with the talent they have there at defensive end, you know, I think, you know, you definitely want to get, you could, you know, get those three talented guys there, Dimmick, Fitz, and, you know, Pita T out there at the same time. You know, that'd be a scary defense for anyone. So it might be something we might see again. It might not, but I like the way that the defense looked. And, you know, I know they didn't give away everything that game and in all their packages, but, you know, overall they did look good. And I mean, Marcus Williams, I can't say enough about him. He, you know, he continues to improve every year and
every year
show that he's one of the best safeties in the nation.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, you know, Witt's adage has always been, we're going to put the best 11 on the field. So, you know, I guess that included three defensive ends.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, it's hard not to have those guys out there. You know, the defensive line is so stacked and so good that you want everybody out there to play. You know, the defense looked good, you know, and Marcus Williams, you know. Phenomenal. He let one play get by him, but he made it up by causing the fumble and then also picking it up. And then he seemingly ran probably 20 plus yards across the field to intercept the ball.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty outstanding. So job well done by the defense in my book. I would give them, you know, probably A-, B+. There are a few things that they needed to work on. But, you know, overall, I thought it was a really good game by the defense.
Yeah.
So, well, let's move on over to the offense. We finally got to see Troy Williams in action. You know, the new face of the franchise, or excuse me, not the franchise. This is an NFL. The new face of the university, the football team, you know, he played a great game. You know, his stats, 20 completions, 35 attempts, 272 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did take 2 sacks. One of those, I believe, was either Asiata or Dillman, I think, almost pushed the player into Troy Williams, if I remember correctly. And so, obviously, that sack was not really on Troy Williams' fault as much as it was his offensive line. But what did you like about Troy Williams' game?
I thought Troy Williams looked, I mean, he looked good for his first game out there. He spread the ball around a lot to, you know, many different receivers.
11.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, 272 yards and 2 touchdowns, you know, and 20 completions, I think. You know, I do think he looked good, and, you know, he showed that he could scramble as well a little bit there. But, you know, definitely a different look at the quarterback position from him than what we are, have been used to the past, you know, few years with Wilson. But I think Williams, once he, you know, gets a couple more games under his belt, he's going to get more and more comfortable and just continue to improve throughout the season.
Definitely. Yeah, you can't say enough good things about it. You know, in as I was watching the game there, you could see the timer that he had in his head. He drops back, takes a second or two, reads the field, steps up, makes the throw. And you could see that he felt the presence of, you know, tacklers, and, you know, he extended a few plays, things that you want to see out of your quarterback, you know, to not take the hits that are unnecessary. And, you know, I mean, really for him, I thought he played a really good game. He was cool, calm, collected, and just made some pretty confident throws. There are a few underthrows, but, you know, he again, you know, he had a 57 yard pass, which I believe was that touchdown to Tim Patrick in the third quarter, or fourth. Let's see. I don't remember here. That would have been the fourth quarter. Excuse me.
It was the fourth.
Yeah, so early fourth quarter. But you know, I mean, he hit wide. He hit the receivers where they needed to be hit. You know, and the receivers. You know, he probably would have had a game over 300 yards. Yeah. You know, there are a few drops, crucial drops, some that would have gone for more touchdowns. So I think we'll see that be cleaned up, and, you know, they'll be good there. Concerning for me was kind of the rushing game, the rushing attack. What did you like? What didn't you like from Troy and, Joe in the backfield?
Well, I mean, Trey McCormick, he had a decent game. 12 rushes for 55 yards and a touchdown. Also had some pass, you know, catches out of the backfield. I think he had 3 receptions for like 55 yards. So had over 100 total all-purpose yards there. You know, I thought he ran hard. He, you know, for how big he is, he definitely does run hard and can punish some players.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Williams, I don't know if it was the offensive line just not opening up for him. I know the offensive line struggled a little bit that game. They just didn't look like they were in sync, or I don't know what was going on with them. But Joe Williams just didn't seem right that game. He seemed kind of tentative, kind of timid. He wasn't really hitting the holes hard. And then, you know, I don't know if he has, you know, confidence issues or whatnot, but I don't think that fumble that he did have in the game really helped him. Or will help him get back on track. But he did have 12 rushes for 49 yards. But I think that's what you're going to see out of that backfield. I don't think you're going to see a guy getting, you know, 25, 30 yards a carry. I think you're going to see it split up with, you know, maybe McCormick Williams and another guy that way getting the carries and getting whoever has the hot hand. I think they're going to kind of ride that guy. But, you know, I thought Joe Williams would have a better game. I'm hoping he is very talented, so I'm hoping that he'll bounce back against BYU.
Yeah. He's definitely a talent, you know, and he ended the year on a high note last year. I believe averaged, you know, his 3 games, he started like 112-plus yards a game. So all signs point that he should be, you know, that stellar back to take the reins from Devontae Booker. You know, but this game, it just wasn't there. And, I mean, give credit to SUU for, you know, their defensive line was pretty stout at times. They had some pretty big boys up there.
Yeah.
You know, and gave our offensive line some trouble. I think as the game wore on, you know, things got a little bit better for the offensive line as far as rushing goes. But, you know, I definitely think that we need to see it more consistently. So the offensive line, let's move into them next here. The concerning thing for me was the snaps. And I don't know if you saw this watching the game, Patrick, but it seemed like almost every single snap was at Troy Williams' ankles.
Yeah.
And that's definitely correctable, everybody. That's not it's not that big of an issue, but it needs to get fixed because that's, you know, an extra second that your quarterback is now having to not look at the defense, you know, not be able to read, you know, his routes and see where he needs to put the ball. You know, so I mean that needs to get fixed. I think it will get fixed. You know, hopefully by this weekend. You know, what do you see out of the offensive line? I mean,
yeah,
four out of five starters returning, and then you get, you know, Garrett Bowles. You know, ideally we should be even better than what we were last year.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised at how the offensive line plays. I definitely thought they would go out there and be able to dominate SU, and it just didn't seem like it was happening. And I mean, Garrett Bowles did not look good at all. He mm-hmm. constantly got beat. He was just did not have a good game. And that was surprising, but I guess that's kind of, you know, he's at junior college last year. You know, he's taken a bump up in the level of competition. So I think he'll come around. You know, Dillman, you know, with those snaps, definitely will get corrected. First game as a center, getting used to the position. He's too good of a talent that, you know, it's not going to be a problem the rest of the season. He'll get it fixed. The rest of the line, you know, just because wasn't a good game for him. I don't know if they were just, you know, came out lackadaisical and thought that they were, you know, maybe had a big head because they're playing SEU, but they just didn't look like I would have expected them to look. And I, you know, I hope they get that fixed by the BYU game, and I'm sure they will.
Yeah. Well, who was your standout on offense, and who was your standout on defense?
Standout on offense, I really liked the way Tim Patrick played.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, you know, showed that he's a threat there in the receiving game. He had five receptions for 105 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, it's great to see him back.
Yeah, it was good to see him back, and he's hungry for success. You can tell he wants to win, and he's, you know, serious about getting the job done this season. But he was my standout there. I think if, you know, they would have thrown to him a little more, he probably could have had, you know, mm-hmm. 200 plus yards that game.
Yeah.
And then on defense, I mean, you got to give it to Marcus Williams. You know, he had the two turnovers, had the fumble recovery, the interception, and I just think he really played well against SU, and he just continues to improve each season as well.
Yeah. For me, my offensive standout, and maybe this is just because we haven't seen it in so long, is definitely Troy Williams, you know, in the throw game. Again, 20 of 35, 272 yards, two touchdowns. And, you know, and he played a really good game, but he was kind of conservative at the same time. And I think that had to do with the, you know, the vanilla play calling, you know, fairly basic stuff, you know, get out of SUU with a win, no injuries. That's the idea behind it. But I mean, he played a great game, you know, 272 yards. When was the last time we saw a quarterback? I think Adam Schultz, like 2-3 years ago, probably would have been the last quarterback that threw for even, you know, close to 300. You know, and so to see Williams have a 272-yard passing game, you know, on basic plays, his first, you know, game back from two Division I competition, you know, I really thought he played a good game, and he didn't have those happy feet that we always saw in previous quarterbacks where, you know, they were constantly worried about taking a hit and not so much just focus on what's going on downfield. And I was really impressed with his confidence that he had. So it was really good to see. Defensively, I think I've got to go with Marcus Williams like you, Patrick. He played a stellar game. You know, he definitely led that defense and really set the tone, which was what we needed for sure. So 24-0, Utah comes out with a win. 1-0 against Southern Utah University. There are two plays that I thought that we could have scored two more touchdowns.
Yeah,
one was a dropped ball. The other was a referee playing defense on our running or our receiver. So 24-0. I don't think we should be, you know, sky is falling. We got out with a win, no injuries, got our feet wet. People got, you know, our receivers and quarterback, you know, built some chemistry there in a live game action. You add in those two possible touchdowns, you know, you're now looking at 38-0, you know, and everybody's going to be all happy, hunky-dory with, you know, 38-0, doing what we quote-unquote should have done in the first place. But I'm okay with the 24-0. Southern Utah is not a bad team. They won the Big Sky last year. They're going to win a lot of games this year. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, 24-0. I mean, I didn't expect the Utes to come out and lay it all out there, you know, this first game. I just expected them to come out and kind of do basic things and do a lot of rotations and get a lot of guys playing time. So, I mean, 24-0 is definitely, you know, a decent score. I know they, you know, that first drive where they got close to the end zone where they had to settle for a field goal, that's mm-hmm. definitely a drive they could have scored on as well, and they probably should have. But I mean, SCU, those guys, they came to play. They mm-hmm. they, you know, were excited to be there. You could tell they were excited to, you know, play against the Utes, and they laid it all out on the line and, you know, gave it their best effort. But I'll take 24-0 with no injuries and move on to the next week. I no problem with that.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into our Ute Q's.
Now time for Ute Q's, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
So our first question for Ute Q's that we put out there was, how many yards will Jamal Williams have against the Ute defense? We had quite a few responses to that, and I'm just going to read them off here. We've got 47 yards, 85, negative 2. I wish. I don't think that'll happen, but that would be awesome. We've got between 90 and 110, 70, maybe 70, 44. Somebody here says 98 yards and a touchdown, but BYU still falls short 20-14. Somebody was saying 88, and then someone said 55. Kind of all across the board. I think some really good guesses there as to what we'll see. I really liked the 98 yards and a touchdown. Jamal Williams, he's a great player. He's going to get yards. He's going to put himself in opportunities to score. I would love to see him held under 100 yards. I think we can do it. I think, you know, like Ruben here saying 98, I think we'll see probably between that 85 to 95 yards. And I would agree that I think he's going to get a touchdown. I hope he doesn't, but I think he's going to. But I think everybody had some really good observations here, or guesses, I guess, on what Jamal Williams can do. And we'll just have to wait and see on Saturday, won't we?
Yeah. Yep.
What do you think about Jamal Williams?
You know, I think Jamal Williams, I mean, he looked good last night against Arizona. I expected him to come out and look kind of rusty, but that was completely opposite of what he looked. From missing so much time off, he definitely looked fresh and renewed. And, you know, I think the Utes defense, he's going to have a lot more trouble with the Utes defense than he did with Arizona. I'm going to say they're going to hold him to maybe 65, 70 yards. And I'm going to say they shut him out of the end zone.
Really? Yep. Okay. That would be awesome. So good job, everybody, on that one. The other question that we posted was, give us your final score for next Saturday and who gets the game ball. First to 10 points wins the game ball. First to 10 points wins and the game ball goes to Troy McCormick. Utah wins 16-3 with a game ball going to Marcus Williams. And then someone else had said 26-13. I'm assuming that's for Utah. Yeah. So what these rivalry games are so tough to predict. You know, you had everything from 3-0 to, you know, 17-14 to, you know, 54-10. You know, I mean, it's been kind of all over the place. I think, you know, this year, because there's a lot of uncertainty for both teams, you know, new coaches for BYU, new offensive scheme for Utah, it's, you know, new players on the offense, you know, a lot of players, you know, that are now moving into that starting role, or coming back healthy to be a starter. I think we're probably going to see, 2017, 24-21, you know, I think it's, going to be a 3-point, you know, 3 to 7 point, spread for me. And we'll see how they do.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I just had in my mind, you know, since last night, I think the Utes are going to take it 27-13. I think it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people expect. You know, I do think, you know, BYU's got some talent there. Utes got some talent as well. And I think it'll be a close game throughout, you know, maybe three quarters, and then the Utes will take over in the fourth quarter and go up by, you know, maybe 10 points there and take the victory. But 27-13 is definitely my prediction with that.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for the Ute cues. And just real quick here, Utah Red Zone is the official store of Utah Athletics and your best provider for all University of Utah apparel, merchandise, gifts, and more. For the next 48 hours, our listeners can use promo code TBSUTES. So that's TBSUTES at uredzone.com. Using this promo code will get you 20% off your entire purchase. That is 20% off your entire Utah Red Zone purchase at uredzone.com when you use promo code TBSUTES in the next 48 hours. This offer is only available online and for the next 48 hours. Some restrictions apply, so please see your store for details. So let's move right along here and get right into it. You know, this is the week we've all been waiting for. This is, you know, University of Utah versus the Brigham Young Cougars. I mean, this is the biggest game in the state of Utah, I would say, for sure. In any sport, of the sports here we have, you know, it's, some like to say that it's BYU's Super Bowl, not necessarily Utah's Super Bowl now that we're in the Pac-12, but I mean, let's break it down here a little bit. You know, we can break down kind of what we saw in BYU last night and tie that into what we're going to see possibly this week. We obviously knew the Utes were going to play a little vanilla. BYU, I think, you know, maybe showed a little bit more. Maybe because they had to, because the game was going so slow and you couldn't really tell there was momentum either way for either team in the BYU-Arizona game. So I think we probably saw a little bit more out of BYU than you did Utah. What can we see going into Saturday's game? And quick reminder here, so Saturday night, the September 10th, 5:30 p.m. It is on Fox. So Fox 13, and I believe Dish actually just brought back Fox, which is great news for everybody who has Dish. So welcome back, Fox to Dish. So, that'll be nice. I unfortunately will be in Portland because I have to be at work, and this game is kind of eating away at my soul right now because I really want to see it. And I want to see it in person because the last time I saw BYU-Utah game was the three field goals attempts, and we won on all three. And or I guess BYU's field goals attempts, and we, you know, you guys all know that situation. Anyways, that was my last live Utah-BYU game, and it kind of kills me that I'm going to be missing it this weekend, but I will definitely be watching it on TV. So what can we see from the Cougars this week, Patrick? Let's break it down.
Well, you know, last night against Arizona, I think, you know, they didn't show all of their packages, but they showed, you know, enough to squeak out a victory there. Obviously, you know, they have a great, great quarterback in Taysom Hill. You know, he kind of looked tentative last night, not like he used to be where, you know, he would run wild and, you know, things like that. But, you know, that happens with injuries. Guys, you know, when you get a bunch of injuries, you kind of become a little tentative, a little timid when you're out there because you don't want to sustain another injury. Mm-hmm. But he's still definitely someone that to be reckoned with. He's definitely a player that the Utes need to keep track of and pay attention to because, you know, he does have the athleticism to break off a play, you know, even though he's not, you know, what people want to say. He's not like, like the old Taysom, but, you know, he's still a decent player.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamal Williams looked, like we talked about before, Jamal Williams looked great last night. Granted, it was against kind of a porous defense, but, you know, he still got 162 yards and, you know, he was bouncing off guys. They couldn't tackle him. Yeah. He looked good after, you know, taking a little while off there. Mm-hmm. Their pass game, you know, I wasn't real impressed by their passing game or their receivers. They didn't really do much. I do think, you know, Jonah Trinneman, I do think he's a special talent. I really wanted him to come to the U, but
yeah,
unfortunately he went to BYU. But, you know, I think they do have some talented receivers. They got some big guys there. But, you know, the pass game might not be their strong suit of the offense. You know, defensively, you know, they looked okay. They weren't, you know, world beaters out there. But they didn't look bad either. They just kind of, you know, they looked okay. They didn't really, Arizona's offense was, I don't know. I mean, Arizona's quarterback kind of reminded me of Wilson a couple seasons ago when his confidence was shook. Cause you know, their Arizona's quarterback Solomon, you know, a couple seasons ago and even last season, he was, you know, he was great. I thought he was one of the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12.
Oh, yeah.
And last night, he just looked like a quarterback who had no confidence in himself at all. And, you know, that might be one of the reasons why he was battling for his starting position this season.
Yeah, he didn't even get named the starter until a couple hours before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not really a confidence booster, if you ask me.
But, I mean, you know, BYU's defense, they do have some good players there. I mean, Nakua's, I think he's a good safety. You know, Harvey Longhi, I think, is a decent defensive player. You know, they got Kafusi, who's like 7 feet tall. you know, Francis Bernard, who is back there at linebacker this year from running back. You know, he's a pretty good linebacker there. They do have some talent back there. But this is a game... BYU, they're going to be up for this game. They want to come in. They want to beat the Utes. They're sick of losing to them. Yeah. Sitake, you know, I know he said it was an honor to call Utah their rival, and I love Sitake. I think he's a great coach, and I hope he does have a good season outside of this week. But, you know, he's going to have these guys fired up for this game as well.
Yep.
I think he's bringing back that presence or that culture down there at BYU that they've been missing since, you know, Lavelle Edwards was there. I think he's bringing that back around, and he's going to have these guys fired up for this rivalry game. And, you know, these BYU players, they're going to want to win, and they want to take it to the Utes. And the Utes need to come out and, you know, match their intensity. But not only match it, they need to, you know, take it a level above theirs and take it to these guys.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. You know, I mean, in the game last night, you know, BYU and Arizona, like you said, a new Solomon, 20 of 30, 213 yards, two interceptions. You know, I mean, his throws were pretty errant. You know, his interceptions, I believe one was a tipped pass, and the other was just a complete overthrow. So pretty bad on his part, but it kind of, you know, as the Cougars like to say, it gifted us, or gifted them some interceptions. So, you know, I mean, you know, Taysom Hill, 21 of 29, 202 yards, one touchdown. I mean, that's nothing to write home about, in my opinion. I mean, you look at Troy Williams, you got 20 of 35, 272, and two touchdowns. You know, Troy obviously had the better game. You know, in Arizona's, you know, their team, you know, it's a little uneasy right now. Jamal Williams, 29 yards, 162, or 29 carries, 162 yards. So, I mean, he really tore up that Arizona defense. On the flip side of that, you also had Arizona's Nick Wilson, 17 carries, 138 yards. So 12 less carries and 24 less yards. And, you know, against BYU's, you know, defense. So, I mean, for me, I think, you know, it's going to be a grinded out game. It's going to be, you know, who can stay, you know, the most composed throughout the game. And, you know, who can keep their team more involved as well. You know, I think we'll be able to rush. I think, you know, like we saw in the Southern Utah game, you know, it's going to be a you know, running by committee. You know, it could be McCormick for a couple plays. It could be Shine for a couple more. It could be Joe Williams for some more. Whoever's got that hot hand, we're going to keep giving it to. And, you know, Jamal Williams is really, for the most part, their bell cow back. And if we can hold him under 100 yards and taste him around that 200 mark, you know, I think we really limit what BYU can do. And I think we squeak out the win. And, you know, it's probably going to be, in my opinion, a 3-7 point spread. But I think the Utes should have a lot of success. You know, Kyle Whittingham loves playing against his team that he once played for. And, you know, he gets these guys involved. You know, I've been around the team for a couple years, and, you know, this game is huge. You know, as much as people like to downplay it and say it's not, it really is a big game. You know, we're both in-state schools. One's private, one's public. And, you know, I mean, you're competing with the in-state recruits. You're kind of competing with a lot of the same out-of-state recruits. You know, and so, I mean, in all fronts, we're competing with BYU in almost every facet, you know, that there is. And, you know, it'll be a tough game. I think we'll squeak out the win. But it's not going to be easy, for sure. You know, Kalani is going to get those guys ready. Kalani is a competitor. He knows how to motivate his players. I saw it when he was up at the U, and people love to play for him. And he's going to get his guys ready. And we need to come out and punch him in the mouth and don't let him get back up again. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
Don't let them get any confidence. Don't let them get any momentum, you know, because they're a talented team. Let's give them credit. So,
yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think, you know, it's going to be a hard fought game. It's going to be an intense game. I just hope that the Utes come out and they want it just as bad as these BYU guys do. I don't know, you know, over the years, I've always asked myself, like, you know, do the Utes want this game as bad as they used to, just because there's not any, you know, conference implications or anything like that on the line anymore. It, you know, it's just kind of another one of those game out of conference games that they do have. And, I hope that the Utes come out. I know Whittingham will, you know, fire them up, have them ready. This is an important game. Like you mentioned, you know, it's important for in-state recruiting. It's important for, just for, you know, the in-state rivalry there that they do have. But Whittingham, you know, will have these guys fired up. These guys will come out and, you know, I think they're going to be ready to take it to BYU.
Definitely. So do you have any more breakdown on BYU, Patrick, that you can think of? Or, I mean, what else we may see in the game this weekend?
I just think, looking at the game last night, I think that the Ute receivers, you know, Tim Patrick and, you know, Tyron Smith and all the receivers that the Utes have, I think that, you know, if they can get on track with Troy Williams, I think they could have a really good game against, you know, BYU's defensive backs. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really impressed with their defensive backs last night, but I think that this is a game where, you know, the receivers could have a breakout game.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to see the playbooks open up for both teams. I really think we're going to see potentially a really exciting game. And I hope our fans bring it. I was at the Southern Utah game, and as I'm a season ticket holder, and I got to say it was kind of a snooze fest. So I hope our fans bring it. I hope they're excited. I hope, you know, we're ready to go to cheer on the team. And just real quick before we leave here, what's your favorite Utah BYU memory, Patrick? And I'll give you mine while you think about it, just because I just popped that question on you. My favorite came when I was working with the University of Utah football equipment staff, and would have been 2010, and Brandon Burton blocked the punt. That would have won BYU the game, and I believe it ended 17-16 in favor of Utah. And I remember I had somebody's helmet in my hand because it was broken. It broke the play a couple plays before, and I was fixing it. Had it in my hand. Brandon Burton blocks a punt. Utah wins the game. Everyone goes crazy. Fans rushing the field. The team's rushing the field. And I have a helmet in my hand, and I'm just like, yes, I don't know what to do with this helmet, but we won. And was just parading around and so excited. But that's one of my favorite memories. And, you know, maybe that's just because I was on the field at the time and, you know, had a close connection with some of the players there. But that was my favorite memory. What's yours, Patrick?
You know, just thinking back to when I was little, back to the olden days of, you know, Coach Mack. It was, you know, one of my favorite memories is that, you know, string of victories there where they kept winning, you know, 34-31. I just, you know, that just comes to mind when I think of that, just because, you know, you're so used to BYU coming in and winning, and then all of a sudden the Utes, you know, pull off that string of victories, 34-31, 34-31.
Yep.
And, you know, that was just, you know, a time that, you know, was exciting. And that's just kind of what came to mind when you brought that question up.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Ute Talk. So thank you for listening. From our audio engineer, Marty, Patrick, and myself, Andy, we will see you next time. And as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to You Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @You Talk Podcast or email @utalk@gmail.com.